Hey, hi, hello, and welcome to my beauty industry enthusiasts, content creators, and brand visionaries. Get ready to step into a world where beauty meets business, where the creator economy blends seamlessly with strategy. I'm Sonia Elise, and this is Lip Service, the podcast. We're about to redefine the way that you think about the beauty industry. From the boardroom to the makeup room, we're leaving no stone unturned. Lip Service is your backstage pass to the beauty industry's best kept secrets. Now take out your notebook, fill up your emotional support water bottle, and swipe on your favorite lip gloss. Let's get into the episode. Thank you so much for joining us. We're here today with Addison Kane, who is a trend researcher and trend forecaster for one of my favorite companies in the beauty world, Spate. I'm sure if you know me, you've heard me talk about them before. So welcome, Addison. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hello, and thank you so much for having me.
Okay, so we have to start with my favorite questions for everyone. Number one being, what's on your face today?
Ooh, what's on my face? Okay, so do we start all the way from skincare?
Yeah, whatever you want to highlight.
Cool. So I start with, I guess, my moisturizer, which is very simple, but it's the Aveeno Ogel moisturizer. I also am actually currently using, a bit on the splurgier side, the Bio Effect EGF serum. Really liking that. I put that on, then I do the Aveeno Ogel, then I do my sunscreen, which is my Koa is the name of the brand. They have a tinted mineral sunscreen that I really love. It's SPF 50. And during the week, I pretty much, that's all I wear on my face, like for the most part. And then I'll do a little Merit blush balm. I might curl my lashes, though I didn't today. And on my lips, I've got this really amazing Kiko Milano lip liner. And I don't know, like, I know Kiko is a massive brand in Europe, and I think it's making its way to the United States. But like, their lip liners are so amazing. And that's what I've got on my lips right now. And it's topped off with a little Vaseline lip balm.
Love it. I love the high, low, no maintenance, but high maintenance mix that you have going on.
No, that's, thank you. I also like, I try to keep it, you know, like budget friendly where possible, but I'm about to turn 31. I've got like my little, treated myself to a facial at Stala Studios, which is here in the city. Ooh. And they also sell the Bio Effect products. And so I took the plunge.
Good for you. Good for you.
Thanks.
Okay. So then the next intro question that we do for everyone is a fuck, marry, kill.
Ooh,
love you get to choose from skincare, hair care, or makeup.
Okay. I'm going to fuck makeup, marry skincare, kill hair care. It was easy. Like I've never been like a hair care girly. I'm learning a lot about it. I've always been interested in like the hair care products and things like that. But for me, my hair is fine and thin. So typically the less the better. And so hair care can go.
Amazing. Love it. Okay. And the last question, and I feel like I know what direction you're going to go in, but I'm excited to see what you pick.
Right.
You know, you're going to die tomorrow, but you get to take one thing to the grave. One product
to the grave. Okay. So this is really tricky because the grave is going to be dark. Normally I would say sunscreen. If anybody asks Desert Island, it's going to be sunscreen. I think to the grave, I'm taking a really nice moisturizer, you know, and I won't have to worry about breakouts. So I might do something rich that I wouldn't normally wear in my daily life. So thick. I'm going to go with something thick, something moisturizing. Might even splurge on a little, you know, like creme de la mer, just because like in my real life, I can't really wear it or I'll, you know. So yeah, I think that a really nice heavy moisturizer.
I thought it was going to be a fragrance for sure.
Okay. So yes, but also it's just like, I mean, yeah, if we want to get technical, you know, I want to smell nice down there, I guess I'll need it. I'm going with moisturizer, I think.
So let's get into it. As I mentioned, Addison is a trend researcher, trend forecaster for a beauty specific, although they just launched food and beverage company called Spate. And I would love to know, because I think this is such a unique and interesting career, how did you get here? And, you know, what were some of like the defining moments along the way?
I love talking about this because I feel like it's very nonlinear for me. And I think it's a great, like, it's great to remember in general, anybody who's looking to start a career, especially in beauty, it doesn't have to be like a straight shot right to where you want to go. So in college, I majored in communications. I kind of thought I might want to do journalism or some type of media. And ultimately, like, I decided, okay, it's got to be beauty, but how will that work? And then I applied to a few jobs. And the one that I got was the marketing assistant position at Sunday Riley, which is based in Houston, Texas. I'm from Kentucky. Mm-hmm. I had never like even been to Houston, but I literally like, I called, I know I like called Sunday Riley literally every day, the person and the company. So like I was persistent and then I got the job and it was such an amazing thing that could have happened to me in my career. Like really took me out of my comfort zone because, you know, like I mentioned, I had never been to Houston. I moved there basically sight unseen besides like one trip down to get an apartment. I was there for 4 years in a few different capacities. And at the time that I left, I knew I wanted to pursue maybe a different side of beauty, but I didn't know what it was. I applied to a position at Cisco Systems, which is like the tech company, random. I was there for 2 years doing like kind of content marketing management. Cisco was a great work environment. And I think I always say this of like, I really enjoyed working there. And so like, it wasn't for me because it wasn't in beauty, I soon realized, but in general, I really enjoyed my time there. It was also awesome for me to get the experience of working at a massive company that I think, I can't remember how many employees they had, but like a massive company where I'd come from a smaller team. Yeah. And so I was there for a bit and I was missing beauty in the meantime. Luckily, I had maintained a few of my connections just throughout the industry and I took on some freelance work. And towards the end of my time at Cisco, I was like still enjoying the beauty freelance, but thinking, okay, what's my next move going to be? I don't want to necessarily stay in this current role that I'm in. I want to get back into beauty. What does that look like? I decided to go to grad school and I went to grad school at Parsons to receive my master's in strategic design and management. And then from there, I was freelancing for beauty companies and I was reaching out to Svate to get data for a client actually. And then they were like, we could use some support in some different areas of the business. Are you freelancing for, you know, could you freelance? And I took on that and I was working on a few different projects. We kept working on more and more together. And eventually they asked me to become full-time and it was such a great fit. So it's been very fun. I always tell people I'm kind of in my dream job right now. And I think like I've really found a great home in terms of like market research and insights. I love being on the side of the beauty industry. So that was
interesting.
Yeah. Thank
Not
you.
Too long, but of course. So for anyone who doesn't know Svate, what's sort of like the way that you would kind of just give them the light overview?
That's a great question. So we are a consumer trends platform, essentially, where brands and consultants, marketers, whoever can come and understand what consumers are searching across Google and viewing on TikTok to help them predict the next big trend. We are really great at surfacing those early stage insights and a lot of those kind of top of funnel data points. So where we're looking at awareness or we're looking at, you know, Google search, which demonstrates intent. It's awesome. And the dashboard itself is like this tool that's self-service and really a great way for brands to come in and like surface those insights themselves easily.
Yeah. And for anyone who doesn't know, Google search trends are available for the public, but for the most part, but Svate and their team really takes specifically what is happening in the beauty space. And then as Addison mentioned on the dashboard, which is you log in through their portal, you can see so much information. And a lot of that comes from taking the data that they've aggregated through Google, but also, of course, creating lots of systems to analyze that data and tell you what's happening next and what's coming up, what's falling. I mean, I'm obsessed with it, as you know. And my favorite thing that was added was TikTok. So cool. At yeah. what point in the business, because I know you've been working there before they launched TikTok, when yep. was the shift where, you know, the team was like, we have to figure out how to add this to the dashboard?
So Spate really took off during the pandemic. And this was just a little bit before my time, and hence why, like, it kind of, I guess, they ended up needing a freelancer to support additional reporting and beauty business and stuff like that. And people were really interested in what was happening across, like, this new shifting consumer base, because we were in, like, you know, we were in this moment of extreme change globally, but across the United States where we initially focused. And then in that vein, the conversation around TikTok just kept growing and growing. And ultimately it was like, you know, with beauty, it was almost like you can no longer afford to not have an understanding of what's happening on TikTok in this space. And Spate's insights are very unique, and our coverage of TikTok is very unique. And so for that reason, it was just like this natural integration. And on the dashboard, we have a lot of amazing categorizations and, you know, kind of this proprietary view, and beauty experts are using our dashboard every day. And so we get a ton of feedback also from, like, beauty experts on how we get things categorized and, you know, our different clients. And so we wanted to apply this to what was happening in the TikTok space too. And it just became, it was like a natural transition. And it was, it's been really fun to, like, learn this data set alongside search.
And what do you think is, like, the most interesting thing that you are seeing with the addition of TikTok to the platform? Like, is it a specific trend? Is it the way that trends flow through there? Like, what is your yeah. biggest takeaway?
We just released a report called The Life Cycle of a Trend, which is a comparison of Google search and TikTok over the last 3 years. And mm-hmm. what was really surprising to us, because as these were our two primary data sets, of course, we're going to get multiple questions around, like, okay, what is happening on this platform versus this platform? And what we found actually is that over the course of 3 years, Google search and TikTok trends, there's about 75% similarity. And that's been one really massive finding for us. And it's something we continue to watch. But, like, ultimately, it's that the consumer bases are very similar that we're seeing, and, like, trends are very similar when you zoom out. It's really about, like, TikTok will give you this, you know, kind of immediate view of what's happening, what's viral, and maybe what people are calling something. I think we can use, like, I want to say, like, tomato girl makeup as an example, whereas, like, on search, we've been seeing blush rising forever, like, for, you know, a couple of years. And then on TikTok, it takes off again as, like, multiple different names, like this, the really rosy mm-hmm. kind of makeup look. So whether it's tomato girl or yeah. whether it's, like, cold girl makeup or Doyen makeup, where there's a lot of blush focus, Daween makeup, I think I'm pronouncing that wrong, but where those things, like, represent two different sides of the same trend.
Yeah, I think that's so interesting. And I think it's a really good takeaway for creators to not get so caught up in, like, the exact terminology and to create similar content, both in, like, a zoomed out way. I think you guys created a piece of content that was really interesting talking about how latte makeup and kind of, like, mob wife aesthetic. And there's, like, a few different trends that are all emerging. But if you zoomed out and you actually looked at the imagery and the makeup being used across all of them, it's actually quite similar. So there yeah. is always kind of, like, this overarching umbrella. It's just being named different things, which is a marketer's job. To
exactly.
rename things and sell it.
That's yeah. No, that's, like, exactly such a good point. And it's really about, like, which name took off at what time and things like that. So you're right on the money.
And when we go into, like, a product focus, like you said, blush has been rising, but for maybe someone who's a consumer or a creator, it seems like blush has only been really rising for maybe, like, all of 2023. And now we're spilling into 2024. What else is actually rising that's been, it's much more sustained? You're saying it's actually 3 years it's been on the rise, but we're kind of at a fever pitch now. Are we yeah. like in the era of lip forever, or is there something else that's coming?
I think we're in the era of complexion, really. And when I say that, I mean that we had a massive eye era in, you know, the pandemic when masks were on and all you could see was the eye. Then as soon as masks came off in like May of 21, we saw this big spike in lipstick. And then after that, you know, it took a little bit of time to return to like complexion interest, simply because like for a long time, even after we, you know, restrictions were lifted and what have you, lipstick became really popular, people still hadn't completely returned to their like base makeup routines. And then we started to see complexion grow, and really like that has sustained through the last, last year and a half or two years. And it's been really interesting to see that, but I think complexion era for sure.
Yeah, I think it is definitely, I mean, we're only at end of Feb right now as we're recording this, and it seems like every single brand has launched a foundation, a skin tint, a something in the last 2 months. It's insane. Right. So you think that that focus will continue through next, through the rest of the year?
Yeah, I think it depends. Like, so we look at the overall category and we look also at the individual trends. I definitely think there will continue to be a like a collective complexion focus. But I also think, you know, the individual trends will see a lot of growth in some different areas. And I can tell you also, we just launched our annual 2024 trends report, which is our, you know, one of our biggest reports of the year. And here is where we really rely on, or where we really look to the year ahead and what's going to be big. The big trends that we're looking at for makeup ahead. Daween makeup, which I just mentioned, has been not only a strong grower in the past year or so, this is like the TikTok Chinese version of TikTok. And it's a very specific look with like this blushy vibe, a lot about complexion and a soft matte complexion. We're also looking at like silicone primers, water-based foundations, the stick format still going strong with face bronzer sticks and blush sticks, skin tints, and also setting powders. And then there's some lash stuff actually at play as well, including like cluster lashes, tubing mascara, and DIY lash extensions. So it's like complexion heavy with a little bit of lash in terms of the eye.
Interesting. And so if you're a creator, please take notes. This is a great places to create content around because it's what people are going to be focused on. Is this report also available? I know you can get some information through Spate as a non-subscriber if you just subscribe to the email base. Is this through that?
Yeah, so this is available both on our website. I mean, and when you'll need to submit your email to download it, and then you will also receive our weekly newsletters. And we have two focused on the beauty category. We have one that's dedicated to TikTok trends and then one that's dedicated to Google search trends. And so, yes, you should absolutely download this report. It's a great, our reports in general are a great free resource for creators and they're available on the website.
Perfect. We love a free resource.
We do. We absolutely do.
And with kind of the rise of TikTok Shop, so I recently had someone say, well, you know, TikTok Shop has only been around for 6 months and it feels like it's been around forever. So with that, what are you seeing? How is that driving the industry? Is it things that are getting pushed on TikTok Shop are then becoming a trend, or it's like already a trend and so then it's becoming...
We do get a lot of questions about this in general. I will say for TikTok Shop, we're still at a bit of a wait and see moment. When we look at the growth of this, it's been very steady since like the end of 2023. No surprises there. We're seeing a bit of a decline right now, but that's typical with seasonality where people, you know, of course, they were searching it around the holidays. Maybe things are slowing down. We're waiting, again, a wait and see moment to see how this impacts the individual trends. I think one thing for sure that we see with TikTok Shop is we'll see the spike of certain brands, like Unbrush is a great example associated with this kind of trend. And that's one thing that Spate will show in our dashboard is like, what are the branded hashtags that are spiking alongside TikTok Shop? And so we're keeping an eye on that. I can't speak specifically to the like individual trend side, but it's a very good indicator. Like there's some great like brand play happening in here.
Yeah, for sure. I think I saw in one of your newsletters, what is it, Clean Face Club?
Yeah, maybe Clean Face Club. Yeah. And then some other ones where we're seeing a lot of views alongside
Beach
TikTok.
Waver.
Beach Waver, you got it. Beach Waver was a big one. And then Unbrush, like I mentioned, Guru Nanda, which if you are on TikTok and you've seen like the oil, I think it's oil pulling, like, yeah, like you've seen these, you know, and it makes sense. Yes. So the top brands that we're seeing are very much aligned.
Interesting. And those top brands you are seeing reflected in Google as well. So it is working for people.
Actually, we're not. So that's the other thing.
The brands know.
Like, I mean, I can say that Beach Waver for sure was having just a massive moment over the last couple of years. I actually don't know how they're doing right now on search anymore, but so far, like Unbrush, for example, and I'm live looking at the dashboard. Unbrush is still growing on search. But I will say it's hard to tell if this is directly attributed to its presence on TikTok Shop or just TikTok alone. And I think that's where we're kind of like trying to understand the relationship there still.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So interesting for everyone.
Yeah, I could talk about it forever.
I know, same. When it comes to the creators that Spate watches or you personally watch that you think like this person is early to trend typically, who are you watching or who like normally stands out to you? Because I'm sure you guys watch a ton of content.
Oh man, you know, we do watch a ton of content. But one thing I will say about the Spate platform is that with the dashboard, we get to surface trends that are happening immediately without having to scroll through TikTok. So that's the benefit of Spate's like data, is that you're essentially surfacing the high growth things or the very large volume trends without us having to like individually scroll through. Now, one creator that like I know my colleagues and I, we continue to follow them, is the Lipstick Lesbians. We're really huge fans of like this kind of view of products that they give on like kind of the formulation side, where things coming from. We really are fans of their content. As far as other creators go, I mean, anytime you see like Michaela goes viral, and that might come like right up to the top of our data, and we're looking at this, and it's always fun to see even the smaller creators that kind of bubble up in contributing to those different conversations. So it's hard to say about a specific creator related to trends, but there's a lot, and there's a lot of different trends. So now I want to say too, like, we have the benefit of being able to go into individual categories. So I can look at hair and see the creators there. I can look at makeup and see the creators there. And we have a bunch of different views that allow us to see creators across a bunch of different verticals that might be smaller in the span of TikTok overall, but ultimately are, you know, very popular within their particular vertical. And that's very cool.
Yeah. Just actually sparked such an interesting idea. I wonder if any of the brands who use your platform are using it to find new creators. Because if they were in haircare or in something specific and they were searching through those hashtags and seeing who was creating within there that was rising fastest, it would definitely be an interesting way to discover new talent.
Absolutely. I think that is such a good point and good use of the data, is like seeing which videos are driving a trend. And occasionally we will see like one person just really taking off and really kind of owning this particular trend. And I think you're absolutely right. This is a great way for brands to discover influencers.
Yeah. And it just makes a case for, number one, using hashtags, and two, using specific hashtags, right? Because when you're using makeup, hashtag haircare, hashtag, you know, that's not going to get you to the rising top.
Totally, totally. It's just about like different ways. Yeah, there's different ways. People are very clever. I feel like, I don't know, I get to see a mix of strategies. So it's awesome.
That's really cool. Okay, so I would also love to know a little bit more about like your day-to-day. What is it like to be you, like in your career every single day? What happens?
So, such a great question. I lead Spate's content and marketing. So essentially with the, I have an amazing team. So Ellie, who you know, leads our marketing initiatives. And then I also have Jenny working on our reporting and insights. And we together, along with some additional team members, we have this really nice mix of both external reports that we launch, as well as client-specific work. And so in this case, we will put together various, like, we might receive a brief from a big brand and we put together a specific report on our, like, more client-focused side. And then on the side of, like, our external reports, which are those that are available on our website, you can see, like, a number of different, like, different trends that we spot that we decide, like, okay, this deserves a report. We're going to put it together. And then, of course, this also includes our food vertical. Our conversation is, you know, very beauty focused today, but this does include mm-hmm. reporting and insights across our food vertical as well. So that's really, it's a lot of fun. I just want to add to, again, to this point, the newsletter also follows under our team. And I think even if you're someone who doesn't subscribe to the dashboard, the newsletter is a great resource. Again, one of those free resources where we're making this, like, actionable and accessible data available to people. So, yeah.
Absolutely. I love the newsletter. It's my favorite.
Yeah. No, and we always appreciate you, like, always shout us out. We love it. So thank you.
Yes. No problem. So I want to end on something that I feel like you're personally very interested that we've seen a rise of, and I think it's all because of TikTok, but fragrance. Why do you think, I know you're very deep into it.
I am.
Why do you think fragrance is having such a big moment? What do you think it is? Is it TikTok specific, or do you think it's just, like, it's finally time that fragrance took the spotlight?
There are so many different things at play here. I think really it started during the midst of the pandemic, during the deepest, darkest days when we were receiving our stimulus checks and we weren't really going anywhere and there was room to experiment and play. And I think people really got interested in that and, like, you know, had a little bit of extra money to spend and could splurge on some larger, you know, some larger purchases, maybe like a Baccarat Rouge or what have you. And I think that kind of kicked things off. And since then, this amazing community, especially on TikTok, like you mentioned, has kind of come to the forefront of the beauty conversation. And I think me, as someone who has always been interested in beauty, but not super focused on fragrance, I've really enjoyed fragrance because it's not necessarily solving a problem for me, but I'm able to observe it like art and really kind of learn about it in that way. I think so many of us focus on beauty as a way to solve an issue or do, you know, like do something like that. And I think fragrance is a category that really allows you to, you know, you're not necessarily solving a problem or, you know, covering a blemish or what have you. You're really, like, able to just enjoy and observe and learn. And for me, that's been the most enriching thing about fragrance. I will also say, if you're into wine and you start to look into fragrance and, like, see these conversations, so you, like, start to see all these similarities. And if you're getting into fragrance, go to Fragrantica, go to Reddit. The communities are so deep and so knowledgeable. It's just like, there's a never ending, like, resource of content all over the internet that is, like, so awesome. I also feel like with fragrance, it's just so subjective. You're either going to like something or you're not. It's not like
true.
We have to sit, beauty junkies can kind of, like, abandon their need to be critical about, like, formulas instead and say, like, do I like the way this smells? Although, of course, mm-hmm. The clean fragrance conversation notwithstanding,
sure.
You can really just kind of say, like, okay, I like this. And what are the notes? And you don't have to be like, is it going to work? Like, you know, right away.
Yeah. For sure. It's just, like, based off opinion. I love that you brought up the idea of, like, people who like wine. I had never thought of that comparison, but it makes complete sense.
And for the non-alc crowd, I will say, like, coffee as well. Like, it's tasting notes. It's, like, smelling notes. And it's a great, like, conversation. It's a great community that I've really enjoyed, like, kind of learning about. So, yeah.
Amazing. We love it. And who are you personally loving on TikTok right now? Is there, like, a specific trend, a specific person?
You know, this is so interesting that you ask. And I actually, like, I love beauty content, but ingest so much beauty content on the whole that sometimes I don't like focus specifically on certain areas, but I, or certain creators, but fashion, like fashion mm-hmm. content is something mm. I really enjoy. And I will follow a bunch of different like stylists. I really appreciate influencers. I one that like my sister introduced me to, I think she might've been one of my first fashion follows. Her name is like Carla Rockmore. On TikTok, and she just has this really cool style. Another one, and I think she's in fashion and maybe a model, but like Lara Violetta. Mm-hmm. She does some really amazing makeup looks, and I think is also like fashion adjacent. So, across TikTok, a lot of fashion content, a lot of fashion influencers in general. I also am bad with names, so I don't want to, I don't want to shortchange anyone. I can also follow up with a bigger list too.
A detailed list. Okay. Detailed list of her follows in the show notes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then when it comes to Instagram,
yes.
Do you think there's a future where Spate will add Instagram to the dashboard, or is it really like a back-end tech issue?
It's actually not a back-end tech issue. It's really about prioritizing the needs and requests of our client base. And right now we are looking into new data sources and we're constantly evaluating new sources. So I will mark it down Instagram as we have a running log of like feedback and plus one for Instagram, I guess.
Well, I also wonder if like, can you even aggregate Reddit? I guess for keywords, maybe. Can you scrape Reddit for keywords?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, cool. So there's some interesting, there's stuff to be done across all of the channels. It's just about like which thing, again, like what are we prioritizing for our client base based on their requests?
Yeah. I really think it's Reddit. I think Reddit is the future. I think we talked about this a little bit.
I'm a huge Redditor. Oh, totally. I mean, Reddit is like, and I say huge Redditor, but really I'm like mostly a lurker. I comment every now and then, but it is, it's so awesome. I love it. I love Reddit.
I think the most underground trends, the most interesting conversations are happening on Reddit when it pertains to the beauty industry. That be fragrance, hair care, skincare, content creators, like all of it. I think it's the most in-depth over there for sure that I've ever seen. It's a black hole.
My boyfriend told me something like, you can find a hobby and then go to Reddit to learn why you hate it. And it's because it's like this saying about just like how like deep you can get. Because if you think that you are into a topic, you go to Reddit and you're like, no. Like there's someone out there that's writing novels for like for like one post. So I agree. I think it's a great resource. Definitely if you don't have a Reddit account, like, and you're into beauty, you're in for a treat.
And I love the idea of lurkers because I'm probably more of a lurker. I've commented a few times, but I'm definitely more of a lurker over there. But did you see the recent data that TikTok, like, I think it was like 80% of TikTok users don't have like a bio set up. They don't have anything and they've never contributed a post. Like,
wow.
It's crazy.
No, I didn't see that, but that makes a lot of sense. And you know, that is so interesting to me. And so that's for TikTok. That's a TikTok stat.
This is for TikTok. Yeah, it was, and it's not the exact number, but I think it was like 90% of the content on the app comes from 20% of the users.
Wow. Okay. That
crazy,
is very
right? Most people are just watching. Yeah.
Well, you know, that's interesting you say that too, because with like some of the Spate data, every now and then we really look at post count to determine also what is like a sticky trend, because sometimes you'll see a massive trend that is only driven by one post. And so like to your point, like maybe there's like 20% of creators driving all the views or of content driving all the views. And so we also look at post count to determine the actual popularity of a trend, which is a really good way to understand if it's well distributed or if it's just like one or two people making it.
Sure. Yeah. Because one person could post with a specific beauty hashtag and go viral. But that wouldn't necessarily mean that that is like the trend, even though that hashtag is fastest growing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Okay. Wow. I love it. And what's something that you wish maybe creators knew about the beauty industry, about what you do, about Spate, Like, what's like a little tip or a bit that you wish that they knew?
Oh, there's a couple of things. If we're talking about career advice, I'll start with the career advice and then maybe something that's a little more relevant to trends. I always tell people you should focus on either like category or function. I was so intent on being in the beauty industry that I made it happen in any capacity. And finally, I got to the function that I really wanted. The alternative is like, decide what you want your function to be and go really hard after that particular function. I think if like beauty is the category you really want to cover and like you really want to be a leader in the space, like go hard after beauty, learn what you can, you know, build relationships in that space. Or if you want to like, say you want to be focused on marketing or something like that, go hard after marketing and ingest the content and the learnings for that function, and then, you know, focus on like find the space later. But that was really important to me. Like, I think my focus on beauty for a long time has really put me at an advantage. I've been, you know, a student of the beauty sphere for 10 years now. And as far as like other creators go, like information for creators go, take advantage of like, look into data and trends and like try to understand what's happening in terms of the market research space, because not only are you seeing trends that we are putting out, so Spade is, you know, we're putting out like data, like hard factual data, but also a lot of us are kind of speaking to what we know clients want to see too. So, you know, if we're putting out, you know, when we're putting out certain reports, it also is a good picture of what's happening in the category overall. So pay attention to the market research space in general, because not only is it about like the trends that are actually happening, but it's also about the conversations that brands maybe are having with companies and in the market research space, if that makes sense. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I think so. Yeah. I mean, I'm always preaching to creators that a really, you know, a good creator creates good content. They know who they are, they show up, and, you know, they're filling a need somehow. But a really great creator also understands the business and knows what's happening for a brand, understands what happens for marketers, understands how to create ROI and how to deliver something that a brand can see useful from a business perspective. And I think this just plays right into that. Knowing data, knowing your personal analytics, as well as what's happening in the industry as a whole, that's only going to make you a better creator. So that's some of the work people really need to do if they want to stand out.
Absolutely. And a part of my job, I make sure to be ingesting content. And to your point, it's like about reviewing, it's about understanding what's happening in the space. And that's the same for me. Like, I can't speak to the trends that we're seeing without understanding how they're being spoken about in other places. So know what's going on in your space.
For sure.
And embrace the free resources. There's a lot out there, even beyond just the Spate newsletter.
So
don't be disheartened by like, there's a lot of free resources. That's to say.
Absolutely. So, there are.
And Sonia's amazing channel. Come on, like, you know.
Thank you. Yes, you can always find me regurgitating all of the Spate trends and putting my info behind them. But for sure, there are so many good resources out there. Do not be shy and definitely do some research. Amazing. Well, thank you so much, Addison. I really appreciate your time and all of your insights. I hope that everyone found this info so interesting as I did. And in the show notes, we will put where you can find Addison as well as where to sign up for all the free resources from Spate.
Yeah. Awesome. Thank you so much, Sonia. It was great to chat with you.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye everyone.
Thank you so much, as always, for listening to Lip Service, the podcast with me, Sonia Elise. If you just can't get enough of me or this podcast, which I know is the case, please follow me on Instagram and TikTok at sonia.elise. That's SONIA.ELYSS. In addition, it would mean the world to me if you could rate and review this podcast and just let me know what you think. As a thank you for being a listener, I will be selecting a monthly winner to receive a free one-on-one session with me.
All you have to do to enter is screenshot the podcast and share it on your Instagram stories, tagging myself as well as at Lip Service World. If listening to this podcast has inspired you to invest in your journey as a beauty creator, don't forget that you can get my eyes on your account with a custom profile audit. It's $35, the same as a Stanley Cup, but it adds way more value to your life. Don't forget that sharing your life online can spark joy, so just hit post. Catch you on the next episode.